Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
So true. Like, does this current Nugget squad make the leap and go to the Western Conference Finals, or do they lose game four on their home floor by 60 points?
Do you need to trade for Drew and Bradley in the summer? And I feel like we would have found that out or gotten closer to the answer two rounds in.
Yeah, totally. All right, what about this game? What stood out early on or throughout? I'll go first. This was the first game Carmelo Anthony showed up, and he looked like a superstar. And part of me think it's interesting watching the archetypes, because I think Murray is sort of MPJ is clearly the mellow of this team, but Murray in this one way, Chauncey does everything. He just runs every possession. He does, like, orchestrates it. And when he was bad, as he was in game three of 10 or whatever, or just, you know, not great, the Nuggets lose. When he's good, the Nuggets win. But when the second piece, and in this case it was Carmelo, the score, that's the pure score, you blow him out. And I feel like that's how it is with Jokic and Murray often. Like, Jokic is almost always good. When he's bad, the Nuggets lose. But when he's good, you know, you can't always tell what's going to happen. But when he and Murray are good, they blow teams out. They look like all-star. That's what happened in this game, I thought.
Yeah, I
totally. It's totally true.
Melo was great. I think he was 8 of 13 from the field for 20 points, like, early in the third quarter, you know, and then the game really got away from everybody. So, you know, he was, like, really hot to start things off. And then I thought, you know, I thought Billups' game was kind of Jokic-ish in the sense that he recognized Melo had the hot hand going early, kind of just let Melo get to his spots, fed him, let him get a lot of easy looks and get going. And then just kind of really towed the line of staying aggressive while still being super unselfish and getting everybody else involved. So that's why I was off from Billups' game. But I thought the story of this one was Denver's defense was unbelievable. I mean, Dante Jones and Kenyon Martin were like out of this world on defense. And Dante Jones absolutely took Chris Paul out of this game. Chris Paul was 2 of 7 from the field for 4 points in 36 minutes of action. Like, Dante Jones had Chris Paul in this game.
And that was, like, kind of from the jump. I mean, that was really the tone setter as much as anything anyone did offensively, you know. And the third layer to what Adam was saying, like, your recipe for a blowout, especially in this series, well, Melo's going and Chauncey's going and Chris Paul has absolutely nothing, you know.
Terrible.
Yeah, I like to, at a certain point at the end when we were talking about how the broadcast started getting a little looser and a little looser, and Chris Paul was bringing the ball up. They're like, a depressed Chris Paul brings the ball up. And it was so true. He
was so
depressed.
I feel like his height killed him. And maybe that's just a testament to how much better he's gotten over the years and how he's kind of learned to be really effective while being only 6 foot. But he was just obviously so much smaller than Billups and Dante Jones, and he just could not do anything once he got into the paint. But I mean, fast forward to 2019, 2020, he's learned how to play while being sub 6 foot, but it was just so noticeable, I thought, in this game, how small he was.
Yeah. I think he's filled out a lot more. You know, it's like Chauncey Billups is also just like a hulking guard, you know, like going up against like a smaller point guard. He just looks like a bully, you know.
He just looks like he does.
In addition to, you know, just being the far superior team in terms of talent, the Nuggets really matched up well with this Hornets team, who's like second option offensively was David West. The Nuggets have an exceptional positional defender in Kmart. So, like, between the Billups size advantage and that, I mean, in hindsight, like, of course they dominated this. They should have swept this series, really.
They really should have swept it because that game three was like as bad as they could play. And they still almost won. Like,
inches.
Won.
Yeah.
So, Adam and Harrison, do you guys remember where you were? Did you watch this game live? Like, did you?
I don't remember what I had for breakfast, man. But I do remember the general time frame of all of this. I just don't. I can't say I remember this exactly.
I have a memory of this one because I did. For whatever reason, I wasn't like super duper keyed into the Nuggets at this point in time. Like, I was monitoring them, but it wasn't like appointment television for me. But I remember just being out at a restaurant and looking up at the at the TV and just doing like a quadruple take, like what?
My roommate DJ peered over my shoulder tonight and like he knew the final score of this game and it still took him aback when the Nuggets were up
50. I was watching this game with one of my good buddies from high school, still a good friend today, and the second it ended we bought tickets for game five. Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. It, Nuggets, and I know this is so crazy in hindsight because we even watched games one and two. Denver was so much better. They, you know, even in game three, whatever. But I'm telling you, the damage of always losing, it's in your head. So I think going into this game, it was still one of those things where it's like, we should win this one. But man, if they tie it up, it's going to be nervous. Game five is going to get nervous. Totally. And of course, you win by 50. And it's like, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. Never got those. This was a nice. You know, the Warriors got these types of games for 3-4 straight years. Denver finally got one where it's like, yeah, we curb stomped the team.
That's actually one of the things I've taken from this is the Nuggets have this iteration of the Nuggets has like a little bit of that Warriors, like,
oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like lay in the cut, just sort of wait and then just absolutely assert yourself when the time comes. I mean, obviously they're not quite like the Warriors that way, but it's just so interesting to see. You know, well, like
last year's team didn't have that, you know, they get that win over the Spurs, but it was struggle city the whole way through. And like, I think we all thought they'd win the series, but you know, there might be something to that, you know, when the sort of national criticisms of Denver as a team that they're just not buying. I mean, you like this 09 team came out in this game tonight and just laid down the hammer. And you could see last year's Nuggets team or this current Nuggets team maybe leaving the door open for a game or two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this Hornets team is so bad, but to your point, this year's Spurs there, last year's Spurs team wasn't exactly that good either. And I feel like Denver, after game three of that series, kind of beat the heck out of the Spurs. Like, I know that came down to game seven and there was the comeback or whatever, but a majority of games 4, 5, 6, and 7 were Denver kind of dominating. With the exception of a 5-minute window when
Jokic took the rest. And that, the other and thing is that Spurs team was not a good team either, you know, like the Spurs seen the Nuggets played last year in the playoffs.
That's the point. Harrison, what's happened? Did you cut out there?
I might have. Shit.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? I mean, this all comes down to what you said early on, Adam, which is that the Nuggets bringing in just the calming, confident presence of Chauncey Billups really changed the complexion of everything going in. Like, there wasn't ever a feeling when they were just felt like not even overmatched, but just unsure of where they were going to go. And I mean, that it just makes me think, like, is there a guy in the league that this Nuggets squad could pick up that would bring them
Chris
that
Paul.
Level of confidence.
It's Chris Paul.
I have a guy. I have a name. Look, I have I have a couple names. Chris Paul's one of them. Let's see this on the other side of the break because I actually have a nice Chauncey Billups comp who also so happens to be a player that might be available very, very soon.
There's a tease.
How's that a tease?
That's a tease,
for now, is it Chauncey Billups?
Yeah, Chauncey Billups. Bring him back on.
Yeah, guys.
Take us away, Harrison.
We know how we're really thankful that you guys have supported Breck Brew as they've been partners with us here on this podcast and on the DNVR network for this season. But really asking you to support them right now in the times that we're in, Adam, the times that we're in. Right now, guys, Breck is actually offering $5 off your food and beverage purchase when you use the code DNVR at the farmhouse. Call up the farmhouse today at 303-803-1380. Loads of good options on that menu. And actually go there and pick up food from the Breck Brew Farmhouse. So support them in these times. You can also get Breck Brew delivered through the Drizzly app, which is the Grubhub for beer and liquor if you're not familiar. And like I said, they're also offering go-to orders and for food and beer at the Breck Brew Farmhouse. So make sure to support those guys in these times.
Bar food is the number one food, in my opinion. Followed second,
number one food?
Number food, followed second by Mexican.
Wow.
Mexican food. And
is
then
just
followed,
food groups, just yeah, in general?
Bar food is number one.
I'm learning,
number three.
In knowing Adam for a few years now, I've learned that if you want to win Adam's heart, you just have to have a cheese-based...
Nachos.
Yeah. If the cuisine is cheese based, it's gonna rank high at Adam's.
Very high.
That is bar food. That is Mexican food.
I'm gonna diet like pizza.
Breakfast food. Breakfast food is the top food.
Really, the top food.
Breakfast. I do breakfast food. For breakfast and lunch, and then sometimes dinner, depending on the day.
Is it? Are you just an egg person? You just need
huge
an egg
guy.
In your life.
Egg, cheese, coffee, oatmeal.
I like a pizza. You know, I'll go for a pizza. I don't know if bar food is quite high though, but I would never just like choose it. But in these times,
what do you mean you'd never choose it? I would like,
well, just like if I'm at a bar, I'm going ham on some bar food for sure. But if we're saying like we're going out to dinner, I wouldn't choose to go to a bar unless we're in these times, in which case I would go to the farmhouse, which they do have great.
These times we're in.
Also, in these times that we're in, you got another one, Harrison? Tropical coffee, the CBD infused coffee. You can actually purchase Java Craft coffee cups.
Oh, just add some now.
Yeah.
You can purchase whole bean or even ground. And you can get 20% off your order online if you use code DNVR20. They'll ship it right to you. So, yeah, check out Java Craft coffee. I wish I had some right now as we're firing up this podcast for sure.
And also, if you're in the Denver area and you order the Strava Craft, yeah, that comes so quickly. It will be there like the next day or the day after.
Love it. Okay, so let's talk about this team. There is a comp for Chauncey Billups that I actually really sort of buy. It's not Chris Paul, though. I think Chris Paul would be the type of player. I do wonder sometimes, and I'm going to talk to George Karl tomorrow. Dice, don't forget George Karl coming on this podcast, going to have a sit-down conversation with me. I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to talk to him about this 2019, but also about this current 2020 team, because I want to hear his thoughts on all these guys. We've heard his commentary on Jamal Murray. I'm very curious to ask him what he thinks. You know, Jokic, a bunch of this other stuff, but I think I really do wonder what Jokic would look like with a more traditional point guard. And the guy I think Chauncey Billups reminds me most of is Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry. And this is an interesting one because Kyle Lowry is not like a player that you would look around the landscape and be like, oh, you know what? That's the difference for Denver, you know, getting over the hump. He's, you know, he's 34 years old, so he's already, you know, long in the tooth. But you know what? He's got some size. You know, he's only 6 feet, but he's like big, stocky guy. He can shoot that three. He knows how to run an offense. Like he's always in control. I wonder if Kyle Lowry's a guy that Denver could get for a year or something. Maybe slot alongside Jamal or something like that.
The problem is the Raptors are too good. They probably don't want to shake anything up right now, but I like where your head's at.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know that I would have ever, because I don't ever think of Kyle Lowry as being a difference maker in any way, but you know what I mean? Like
so much.
He's incredible.
I think he's a lot like Chauncey, where he was on that rap. The thing about when the Pistons won and Chauncey won finals MVP and they're like, well, they didn't have a star. I think Kyle Lowry's like that. He's just always going to be like 20% underrated.
Yeah, I guess I just when I think of Kyle Lowry, I just think of the Hornets just always being able to get close, but not close enough until you bring in Kawhi, who's the actual difference maker.
Of course, but Jokic is that guy. I mean, again, Chauncey was the number two. This was Carmelo's team. You bring in that second guy, you know, who kind of opens up everything for the entire roster. And I think the same thing, you know, sure, Kawhi was the difference maker. They needed that guy, but Kyle Lowry was really good. He was the second best player, third best player, if you want to put Siakam ahead of him. But he was a key piece to a champion.
Also, like in that clinching game, in the finals, came out in the first quarter cold killer.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry is an incredible player. Yeah. I mean, the guy's like a 5 or 6 time All-Star. The guy's an incredible player.
Well, I'm not saying he sucks. I'm just saying like. Can I imagine Kyle Lowry is the guy that tips the scales for the Denver Nuggets in the same way that Chauncey Billups, because Chauncey Billups came in not just as like a pretty good guy, but he was Mr. Big Shot. He was like
a top 15-ish guy maybe still at the time.
Well, I mean, he was like, didn't he win MVP of the finals and for the Pistons? I mean, he was the centerpiece.
Five years prior though. I mean, yeah. And again, yeah. That's right, the thing but about I'm saying, like, at this point too, is he was a little bit older.
that's why the Kyle Lowry comp kind of works. Like, they're in similar spots in their career. Kyle's already won his title. So I see
what you're saying. That's just a tough one, though, yeah. From
you hate this.
From just, like, both teams' perspectives. Like,
what's the trade?
Yeah.
I think Lowry might be done with his let me see if I can pull this.
Yeah, but if you're Denver, you probably have to.
I mean, yeah, we had to move Allen Iverson to get Chauncey Billups, right? So
this would mean, we'd have
to
move
Jamal Murray to get Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, he's got one more year on his deal, $30 million.
Would you feel more comfortable with just replacing Jamal Murray with Kyle Lowry?
Can you imagine sending Jamal Murray home to Toronto?
That'd be a cool story.
Yeah, but that's not the story I want to tell.
What if it was like it somehow involved Lowry and like OG Anunoby or something, you know, where you get another guy that you feel kind of good about
anything,
being in your rotation?
Anything to finally get OG in the
What if they get Kyle Lowry, OG, and Terrence Davis?
what could have been on team?
Yeah, let's move on very quickly. No, I don't know. I mean, again, Lowry. So I just looked it up. Chauncey was 32 and age 32 season. Lowry 35. So the age is a little bit different. But nonetheless, I just wonder if that type of player. Look, man. I wonder if that type of player that can just like run and set the table. Like, yeah, I always keep coming back to the fact that Jokic just never had a real point guard.
Jameer Nelson,
and that was the year that they were incredible offensively. Dominated. And Jokic shot 62% from the field.
I think Adam, I think it's a great comparison, and I don't think this is a trade Denver would make. I'm not even sure if it's a trade they should think about. But if you just swap Jamal Murray and Kyle Lowry for this season. And no, maybe next season. I think the Nuggets are a better team, but that doesn't mean they should think about doing that deal. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? I just wanted to throw that one piece out there. I think that Dante Jones and Torrey Craig are just like identical. I mean,
hilarious. The exact same guy.
Dante Jones is the 2009 version, which is to say he doesn't take as many threes, but. He probably makes the same, you know, like they're the same guy. They really are.
Totally. It is funny. Like there's just like role players that fill, I mean, I guess that lower thirds where you just list everybody's role on the team is accurate. Like there are just actual roles on teams that guys fill.
Funny though. Like if Jones was airdropped into this roster in place of Craig, he would literally have the exact same, like we would be talking about Jones playing over MPJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
The thing that was great about that also was he really tried to get under other people's skin. Like in this game, he tried to rattle Chris Paul, rattle whoever he was guarding. And then, and obviously like in the Western Conference Finals, he took some cheap shots at Kobe Bryant. So like he was a little bit of like a demon type figure, you know?
Totally. He was definitely way more of a goon than Torrey Craig. Like Torrey Craig's a pretty nice guy. And I think he even kind of plays like it. He plays really tough and hard, but he doesn't really like throw elbows and like get in people's faces. But Dante.
This just keeps coming up. The difference between these two teams, like every player on the Nuggets is that, like every player on the Nuggets is a jerk and like wants to get under your skin, except for maybe Nene, who's just.
Yeah. Dante has that like, get in your face and clap and.
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But just the little douchey things, kick the ball a little bit further.
You know that, like in practice, like J.R. Smith would do that too. He'd like shoot a three in your eye and clap in your face, everybody
untie your shoelace. Yeah.
Yeah,
these practices must have been all timers, man.
Unbelievable.
Here's another comp for you guys, and it comes back to what we were saying about the Nuggets and Carmelo when he is on, how this team went to a whole other level. I think MPJ and Melo are super similar. Super, super similar. Just in that, like, so many of Melo's buckets are just like, okay, Melo, go score. Like, you run some offense, okay, it's Melo's turn, just give it to him, see what happens. And I wonder if MPJ, I think MPJ can be a better cutter, better, you know, offensive rebound. He's doing some of this other stuff, spot up three-point shooter, whatever. But I do wonder if the future versions of the Nuggets play Jokic ball 75% of the time and MPJ the other 25%.
The thing I noticed about Melo in this game was he was great for, you know, the first half and the first few minutes of the third quarter, but I still thought, and this goes back to something we were talking about on the last show, he just does not impact the game when he's not scoring. He really doesn't, and that was even the case in game 4 when he was great for the most part on the offensive end. And I think MPJ has a chance to impact the game, yeah, even when he's not scoring on the offensive glass and just as a better link in the chain for Denver's offense. So I feel like that might be a little bit of a difference between those two.
Another difference might be, like, I forgot how much power Melo played with, much strength.
Oh, yeah.
And the upper body strength, lower, I mean, all around strength for MPJ leaves a lot to be desired still.
Yeah, so I wonder if he can make up for it with athleticism, because he is really athletic. Well, when healthy, he's like really athletic. But
And longer.
But I do think that you're probably right about Carmelo. I mean, that was an underrated attribute. He had a little bit of Zion in him. I mean, Zion's like a super version of him, but he had a little bit of that in him, and that some guys could play perfect defense and he'd still blow right through them, not around them. You can't hang with me. I'm with you though, Harrison, and it's funny how we analyze basketball differently, and maybe we've sucked the life out of it. I don't know. For some people, I think maybe these types of conversations have. But the truth, I'm with you. He goes 9 of 17 tonight. He was great. This is by far his best game. I think he was our game, but wasn't he our game ball? Should have been our game ball.
Yeah, he was our game ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. When he wasn't scoring, he was sort of just like there. Grabbed some rebounds here or there, but it wasn't like he's like a great screener or a great cutter or great anything. He's just like, is it my turn yet? No? Okay. Mm. Well, I'll just watch Chauncey kind of run the show. Like, is it my turn? No, not yet. Okay, now it is. Boom. Hits you with a shot. So.
And even, like, for all – like, this was his best performance of the series and the big blowout. And I know that he didn't play in the fourth, but, like, he only scored 26 points. You know, it's not like he completely, truly dominated. I know he swung the game when it mattered and all that. He definitely should get the game ball. But I still am yet to see a guy that, you know – like, I don't look at Melo as carrying this team right now at all.
Right.
What's interesting about Melo this year is that he averaged 26.5 points, then 29 points, then 26, and then this year he averaged 23. Then following this year, 28, 25, 25, 26. Like, this was by far the year he scored the least out of his, like, prime years. And I do think there was a little bit for him, this is what buying in was. And this is, again, of course I'm a Jokic guy, but this is, to me, what differentiates them a little bit is, like, we applaud Melo for sort of taking a step back when this team had all this talent and allowing other guys to go. But Jokic doesn't always step back. He just does something else. And I feel like that's the difference. I'm not the scorer today. 12 assists, 12 rebounds, 20 rebounds, whatever it is. Like, just does something else.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, like, have no similarities as players, other than they were just the best players on each of their respective teams. But that's honestly just where that's just like where it stops.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Kenyon Martin also hit some jumpers. Harrison, empty the notebook. I want to hear all. You said you had a ton of those. Were there more?
Birdman third hairstyle in as many games.
You forgot about that. Yeah, that's a great note. Birdman, he did have the mohawk that he was known for, but he also would mix it up. From, you know, he would do different types of mohawks with it.
My favorite thing about the Birdman mohawk is it's like the typical mohawk. The traditional mohawk is cut, like, you shave the sides of your head, so you're only left with the middle. But he did, like, the kid in a bathtub at 3 years old mohawk, where he would just take his regular hair and push it up with shampoo.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
Would you guess that Birdman spent more time, and I'm being serious about this question, actually, more time doing his hair and thinking about and doing his hair for each playoff game or studying the scouting report?
Oh, that's a hair. I mean, you know the answer before you even asked that question. That's obviously hair all day.
He was definitely doing his hair while George Karl was giving his, like, final pregame address.
I'm pretty sure Birdman rejects scouting reports on principle.
Oh.
Because he rejects it all. All right.
Guys, Birdman with another mid-range jumper tonight. Just proving that my theory that he could have developed a somewhat reliable jumper.
Definitive proof.
That is true. I do checkmate. I am checkmated here.
And also, I got a bunch of the great calls from these
announcers
written down here. I don't know if we want to run through
it. I really do.
So in the first half, Denver had a 22-point lead. And I don't know who was doing the play-by-play on this game. Steve Smith was doing the color. I'm not sure who was on the play-by-play, but he called it, quote, a 22-point bulge.
Oh, yeah. Love that one.
A 22-point bulge. And then right before halftime, quote,
a bulge.
burning conundrum of anger inside Byron Scott's body right now.
Burning conundrum.
A conundrum of anger.
That's not what conundrum means.
No, he definitely meant to say cauldron.
Let's see what else I got here.
The announcers were
looking for so much content at the end of this game that they were really killing George Carl for keeping in Lannis Klaza and J.R. Smith at the end.
Oh yeah.
They were absolutely crushing George Carl. There was nobody else. That was a thing.
they were reaching for content. The end of the bench. This might have been like what that is one of the worst things that as an announcer, like a rain delay baseball game. I always feel bad for them because baseball's already 5 hours long. But then when you have to like, well, we got to talk for the next 30 minutes here as we are they bringing up the tarps? Yep, they're bringing up the tarps.
In baseball, you can just like tell a story from 30 years ago and everyone has to sit through it and pretend they like it.
No,
and
that's
basketball, you're just like, well, I guess we have to root for the blowout. Will we see history?
I mean, that's the other thing you're forgetting here, Adam, is that even us, a lot of times when games are being played in baseball, you still have to fill 30 minutes where nothing is happening. So it's so like, true. They're like ready for that. They've had those reps.
Do you know who I really like and who I think is really good at this is Grant Napier and Doug Christie. They do the Sacramento Kings broadcast. And I've just watched enough Kings games because they're the West Coast and you don't want to watch the Lakers. They just are always they do that. Like sometimes it'll be 20 points. Kings are down big and they're just sit there and like, you know, I really miss Scott. I mean, that guy, let me tell you a thing about Scott. And they'll just start tying. Like they won't even call any plays. They'll just be like, and he comes into the cafeteria and he looks at me and he says, and you're just like, yeah, but the guy, funny thing, listen to Grant Napier tell stories for a few minutes.
The funny thing though about this game is that they didn't like fall back onto telling stories and being nothing quaint about it. They were just they were just losing their mind. Yeah, they were just like mocking the players.
He literally said
everybody on the court.
He literally said, we were here to call the worst playoff game ever. He was pumped.
Yeah, also in the fourth quarter, I was talking about Morris Peterson early. The play-by-play guy said to Steve Smith, quote, I want to trigger you with a conversation about Morris Peterson.
Well triggered.
And here's the other like crazy thing that I brought up before we started recording, but just the fact that time is a flat circle and these guys are in the fourth quarter in the year 2009, just like talking about nothing, like nobody's watching this game. All of the home or the home crowd has left and they're just like, well, we're just talking in an empty box and we're all listening 11 years later, like very intently taking notes on what they're saying. Like as though somebody 11 years from now is like listening to this podcast being
and like this will never be archived. Yeah, exactly.
I'm always amazed though, if you go back and look, you can look at old podcasts and stuff and I always see there's like three listens to a podcast from way back in the day. I'm just thinking, who's doing this? What's going on? last stat here for you guys that you're gonna look. I guess we could play a guessing game. What would you guess Chris Paul's offensive rating was in this game? He played 36 minutes.
Ooh. I truly have no idea.
This is how many points. So if you don't know, this is how many points your team scored per 100 possessions when you were on the court. Right, average would be around 100.
And they scored how many points total?
Yeah, the aggregate of the whole team is like 64 or whatever. So
I'll say a 65 offensive rating.
I mean, it's got to be lower. It's got to be like 15 or something.
15.
Yeah, I'll go
with like 9 points.
I'll go with 60.
45.
Wow. Good Lord.
He had a 45 offensive rating in 36 minutes.
Top five point guard like ever.
I just want to point out also that if we were on the Price is Right, I just won by guessing $1. You guys all went over.
You did do a good job.
My final thing, we got 11 minutes of Ronaldo Balkman in this game. I'm very surprised he had his jersey on under his warm-up when he checked.
Ronaldo Balkman, like a forgotten like kind of goober from this team. Like he was kind of known as kind of
he was the 10th man on this team. He like Anthony Carter was the 8th guy, Linus Klaza was the 9th guy. Ronaldo Balcombe was the 10th man on this team.
Next man.
Play-by-play guy was just picking on him because he had nothing better to do. Yeah. It's just there's like 8 minutes left in an unwinnable game. Ronaldo Balcombe like is in the key for 3 seconds and he lost his mind.
Yeah. Ronaldo, what are you doing?
Right. Ronaldo Balkman with a 208 offensive rating in his 11.
Boom. So, he thought he was better.
Without looking it up, so off of the bench, Chris Anderson, J.R. Smith, Linus Kleize, Anthony Carter, Ronaldo Balkman, Johan Petro, and who else? One other player got into this game.
Jason Hart.
You got it. He did it. Yes. How did he know? How did he remember?
He hit a three. He had a pretty good three, Jason Hart.
So Jason Hart was the one guy on this roster that I had just had zero recollection of, like what he looked like, how he played. But apparently he was like a nice third point guard for the Nuggets this season.
Oh, was he a nice third point guard?
You know what's funny, though? Because I don't remember him at all, but, you know, I hope 10 years from now, I don't either. Like, Dozier, love that guy. Incredible. Oh, man. Dozier was so good.
Yeah, he's a nice third point guard. Where he shot well? That was glorious.
Well, I did one of those sporkles for the Nuggets thing where it had to guess last year's roster, and I missed four people. Last year's Nuggets roster.
It was one of the no one remembers Tyler Lydon.
Well, yeah, Devon Akumpersell and Brandon Goodwin. I definitely forgot. I remember them, but
you made those names up. I'm convinced of it.
What do you think Devon Akumpersell is up to? I'm about to Google that.
He's with the Thunder G League team.
No.
Yeah.
I bet he's holed up in his apartment or house for 10 days. Like the rest of us.
In OKC, what a nightmare.
What's the difference?
When we come back, we're going to invite Ryan Konigsberg from DNVR Broncos onto the show, and we are going to talk about the biggest blowouts in Denver sports history. This is up there. This is right up there. So, Harrison, give us one last break.
Yeah, guys, at Mile High Green Cross, our favorite marijuana dispensary in Denver, if you sign up for their loyalty program right now, you will actually receive 20% off of your entire purchase. 20%, that's like a substantial amount off of your purchase once per month. All you got to do is sign up for their loyalty program. These guys are located right downtown, 9th and Broadway. You don't have to worry about metered parking. They got parking in the back. And they also offer Hyper, so you don't even need cash to
pay
at Mile High Green Cross. It's a cashless payment app.
Oh, nice.
You don't even need it to make purchases at Mile High Green Cross. Sign up for their loyalty program and receive 20% off your entire purchase once per month.
Guys, welcome in. RK, Ryan Konigsberg.
Hey. Eric, that was like a trombone with a dead squirrel in it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was – what did you think I was doing?
Are you okay, Eric?
No, not at all. We just watched the single worst quality game I've ever seen, both on the court and on YouTube.
Oh, I watched it too.
No, I know. Well, I'm just saying, like, why am I not okay? Because my eyes have been pixelated into oblivion.
Can we talk about RK's headset really quickly here? This thing is
a gamer headset. Yeah,
this thing is official.
It's like the Princess Leia edition.
I got it so I could participate in the DNVR Madden League and hang out with the subscribers, and then I used it for our podcast, and the audio comes in pretty good, so I'm sticking with it.
New look.
So you're actually like an offensive coordinator? Do you like take it off and throw it down when
during the Madden?
Yeah. I'm paging up to the booth.
Yeah. You're like fidgeting with it because those things always break down like once per game. Like, god damn it. Somebody fix this.
Especially if you're playing the Patriots. Yes.
So, RK, I happen to know that you were cosplaying as Birdman during 2009 playoffs. Is this right?
Can't get that picture out of my head, man.
Yeah, I don't think it was called that back then.
No, definitely not.
I don't know how you say it. Cosplay or cosplay?
I always say cosplay.
It's playoff.
I mean, costume. I don't even know if I've actually said the word before, so I'm not
entirely sure. Yeah, it's like a costume play. You are cosplaying.
Okay.
My hair was like way too long to actually be doing that, so I would put like 5 different products in it to get it to actually stand up straight because it was too heavy.
You and Birdman, same boat.
We were talking about this. How long do you think Birdman spent on his hair pregame?
How long did you spend on your hair? That's the first question. You're the only one with any real knowledge on this.
I'm not kidding when I say it took at least 45 minutes.
Wow.
45 minutes. That's awesome. Okay, so what we're going to do now in this final segment is we're going to talk about the biggest blowouts in Denver sports history. Good blowouts, not bad blow. We don't want to relive the bad times. We want to relive the absolute ass kickings. And this one is right up there. I mean, looking at the score, 121-63, they almost doubled them up, which would have been pretty, pretty incredible. I kind of wish they would have. What else comes to mind, RK, when you think biggest blowouts in Denver history?
Well, there's an obvious one that first comes to mind for me, and it's actually on the DNVR Watches schedule for this Saturday.
Ooh, what a tease.
Not exactly Denver, but 62-36 CU versus Nebraska. That's my personal favorite blowout of all time.
Set the stage of that game.
Nebraska's one of the top-ranked teams in the country, the top-ranked teams in the country, depending on who you ask. The Buffs are a little bit behind there. Nebraska's heavy favorites. They're, you know, favored to win the Big 12, go to the national championship, and the Buffs just come in and just absolutely blow the doors off them, run the ball at will. Nebraska's high-powered kind of option offense can't do anything. They've got the Heisman winner, can't do anything at all on offense, and the Buffs just absolutely run wild all over them all day.
That's crazy.
Chris Brown had, what, 6 touchdowns that game?
Yep, 6 touchdowns for Chris Brown. He was my favorite player as a kid. I was losing my absolute mind in the stands.
You were the touchdown Brown.
We just need to do the opposite shirt of the one we did of the crying Nebraska kid with the giddy young Ryan Konigsberg shirt.
I don't know if I've ever told anyone this. That kid that's crying in that shirt looks exactly like me when I was a kid. And for like a hot second when I first saw that, I was like, wait, what? Is that me? Like, was I crying tears of joy and this got misconstrued?
That'd be awesome. I'm looking at the roster for that team. Bobby Purify was on it. He was a stud high school basketball player.
Yeah. Not Thomas Jefferson. Same place. He went to the same place as Reggie Jackson.
Wasn't that down in the Springs?
Yeah.
Lewis Palmer.
I can't remember which one. But I remember I played against him a few times because that's about the same age. I think he's a little bit ahead, and I remember him being an absolute just athletic freak. So, all right, what else is on everybody's list?
Fairview High School over Horizon by 50 points in 2009.
I'll allow it. Is this the Harrison Wynn special?
I actually played in that game, I think.
Good memories for us all, obviously. Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, this is the way that I guess maybe just my brain works, or just the human brain works. Like, I don't have like a lot of memories of like really pleasurable blowouts. Like the blowouts I remember are like Super Bowl 48, where we got the doors blown off us. Like,
we're not going there. Cut the mic.
I'm just trying to think. Like, like this, it's like really fun to remember, but it's like.
You want to hear a crazy one? So I looked up the biggest playoff wins really the biggest wins, but then the biggest playoff wins in Denver sports history. Last year's was like the third biggest. Game 5, the Wancho dancing in the corner game. Game 5 against Portland, which is like the beginning of the end for the Nuggets. 124-98, 26-point win. I remember that being a big one, and obviously it was fun because Wancho was in the game dancing, but I didn't realize that was like the third biggest playoff win in Nuggets history. It's kind of wild. There's this great one in 19. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say the Nuggets also beat the Spurs 108-90 in game 5.
Yeah, last year. That's an 18-point win. I mean, that's not that. I mean, that's sizable.
But, yeah, I mean, that's sizable based on how we remember that series. You know,
and I'm telling you, we remember that series again. It's like it's another thing about injecting yourself back into 2009 before the series. You forgot how nervous everybody was. Like, it's easy to think, oh yeah, they won by 50. This was easy. Whatever, 58. No, everybody was nervous for these games because the Nuggets kept blowing it year after year. Go ahead.
That's just the funny thing about like rewatching these and like in a forensic way where you remove emotion from it and you're just watching it like game film. You're like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Whereas at the time, you have no idea what's going to happen. Like every basket that goes in, like,
yeah,
you know, I I mean, and that's what I mean, like where you like trying to remember like big blowouts in our favor. It's almost like a game like this where you take your foot off the gas, you like almost detach emotionally a little bit, and it doesn't resonate. It doesn't feel as good as a bad lose, like a game that you get your teeth kicked in.
Oh, it's so true.
You know what I mean?
Oh, it's so true. Yeah. The big blowout losses are really way worse than blowout ones.
Way worse.
There's a couple other cool ones. In 2008, the Nuggets in the regular season beat the Seattle Supersonics with Kevin Durant 168-116. Think about that. That's a 52-point win.
168?
With 168 points scored.
What year was that?
That's 2008 versus Kevin Durant, one of Kevin Durant's first games in the NBA.
I thought it was like illegal to shoot three-pointers back then, too. How can you score 168 points?
That long ago. It was Iverson. I looked it up. It was Iverson. And actually, the crazy thing is I think nobody had 30 points. Like Iverson, Melo, JR all had like 30. It was like a very balanced Nuggets attack. And then finally, here's my last Nuggets one for you. 1985 playoffs. 141-111 win over the Spurs. This is George Gervin's Spurs. 0 3-pointers made in that game.
No way.
They won by 30 points.
No way.
Did not take or make a 3-pointer.
Did they make 10-point shots? Or was it...
Just beat them to death with those ones.
So this isn't really a great fit for your segment, Adam, but I'm going to shoehorn it in there.
Let's do it.
In March of 1999, Georgia Tech beat Chicago State 50-3. In a baseball game. I'm trying to think of like what the equivalent of that is in other school. That's like winning by 200.
Do you have that box score up?
I can.
Because I'm wanting to know how you get to 50. Like, are they just base hitting them to death? Or is that like a series?
Solo shot after solo shot.
That's the same thing about like with baseball. You can't really hang it up either. Like, you can't dribble out the clock. Like, you got to swing at pitches. You know what I mean?
I've got
the best one. The best Denver sports blowout of all time is the 1996 Stanley Cup Finals, the entire thing. It's a four-game sweep for the Avs. And if you want to get technical about the biggest blowout and, you know, most consequential one, it's game two. They win 8-1 against the Florida Panthers. The Panthers kind of ran into a buzzsaw that year, just had no idea what they were getting themselves into. The Avs just mowed them down.
Which game was that?
That was game two.
So I'm looking at it. The Avs have a 7-0 win in what year is this? Oh, this is as the Quebec Nordiques. That doesn't count. So they have that 8-1. They have a 6-0 win in 97, a 7-0 win in 97, and a 6-0 win in 97. All playoffs. Three straight games with a 6-0 or 7-0? That's so insane, man.
I've got a real dark horse. I'm going to share my screen with you guys. We can put this on the feed for people at home. I think I've showed this to you before.
I think it cuts out. Well, we'll see.
Okay. This is the score. You'll see I took a picture of the scoreboard. The scoreboard, there's 2 minutes and 42 seconds left in period four. The score is 54-2.
Jesus.
I was on the side representing two. This was my
son. Were you playing in this game?
No, my stepson Teo was playing this game. Oh. This is Montbello versus Cole.
That's terrible.
Yeah, is that one person named Cole?
His name is Cole Jackson. And that was good times.
I've got one more shoehorn from the archives. In 1916, Cumberland shut down its football program right before they had a scheduled game with Georgia Tech. But Georgia Tech, who was allegedly embarrassed by Cumberland beating them in baseball 22-2 the month prior, demanded they play the game anyway. They won 222-0. And that was the end of Cumberland football.
Football, like every sport, you lose big, it's embarrassing. There's no hiding it. But football, like imagine the lineman having to walk out there play after play after play, just getting leveled to the ground and stomped on. 220. My goodness. How many touchdowns is that?
I don't do math, Adam. I'm a blogger.
So one last share here. I've got one more photo that I'll share also for people.
Great podcast content, Eric.
Well, we'll share. You can look at it after the fact. We put it on with the post. But anyway, you can see that. Look at the matchup of the fives here.
Is that the jump ball?
That's the jump ball.
This is like that video of Zion Williamson against that kid in high school.
Yeah, yeah. You'll check the feed. You'll see this at home, everybody.
All right. I've got two more here.
Okay.
One that's kind of underrated is the 2013 AFC Championship game, Broncos-Patriots. The Broncos ended up winning the game 26-16. Doesn't quite seem like a blowout, but they were up 23-3 in the fourth quarter. So I'm calling that
blowout. It's all right. I wouldn't call that. That one's okay.
And then the other one is Super Bowl 33, which the Broncos won 34-19. Not total blowout, but it was a game.
That's a Super Bowl.
Exactly. So the Broncos, I actually have a couple here because I looked these all up on Football Reference, which is awesome. Their biggest wins, 38-3 against Miami in 1999, 42-17 against Jacksonville. That was the playoff one, I believe. Yeah, it is playoffs. 42-17. That was the revenge game in 97. Yeah. So that one was big. And then they beat Houston in 88, 34-10. And then if you open this up here to regular season games, isn't that what I had here? Yeah, they do have – let me pull up their biggest one. A 43-point ass-whooping, 46-43 is their biggest all-time win. That happened in 1976.
Against who?
The New York Jets. More recently, 2018, do you remember this one against Arizona, 45-10?
Yeah, that's crazy. That was people were thinking that Vance Joseph was on the hot seat going into that game. Ooh. And – He should have been.
saved his job.
Yeah, they saved his job because I was supposed to go to Lake Tahoe, I think, that weekend or something. And I had to cancel it because I was like, I can't go. This is a Thursday night game. If they lose it, I'm going to be covering a coach firing all weekend.
Should have gone to Tahoe, bro.
Oh, I should have gone.
So here's a playoff one, I believe, 2012 against Kansas City.
Have the time of your life.
38-3 against Kansas City in the playoffs.
Which one was that?
2012.
So that would have been the first Peyton Manning.
Brady Quinn.
Oh, wait.
A much ballyhooed Brady Quinn era.
Yeah, no.
Peyton Manning versus Brady Quinn. Yeah, that was the matchup.
Oh. Still can't believe Brady Quinn didn't.
Who was there? Alex Smith probably got hurt or something. Was he their starter?
No, I don't know who the starter was. But actually,
well, there's no way it was Brady, or it should have been Brady Quinn.
Broncos were up 35-3 to enter the fourth. So that was – they ran out the clock in the fourth too. That's an absolute murdering in the playoffs nonetheless. So don't remember that one.
I have no memory of any of this. None.
I know. Isn't that crazy? That's a playoff game against a division rival. You think we would have remembered it.
It's like, a lot of these games in the Peyton Manning era happened when I was in college, and I think I was just like hammered during that.
Yeah. The last one is the Rockies, and their best playoff blowout win is like 5-2. So they're not like a great.
Whoa, yeah. Old 5-2 smash.
But I don't know if you remember 2005 against the Padres, 20-1. Regular season.
I definitely
season.
Not remember that now.
20-1. They also have they have two 19-2 wins. One in 2018, 19-2 against Arizona. Both 19-2 point games happened against Arizona. So
can we claim like the series against the Phillies, which was a sweep, that's a blowout. And then the consequential series after that against the Diamondbacks was a sweep, that's a blowout.
Total blowout. Every one of those a blowout.
But you know what was not a blowout? The next round against the Red Sox.
You be quiet, Adam. You be quiet, Adam.
Not a blowout. Rockies were in every game. So
I thought that was a strike shortened playoffs.
Yeah, right. Like this. That was a fun walk down memory lane. I like Harrison's stories. Anybody have their own personal blowout stories?
That they themselves administered?
Eric, we've now heard Eric or just have received. Either one is good.
Yeah. I made it to the finals of the eastern half of the United States tournament for high school frisbee national championships, and we lost 13-3 in 30 minutes. That's not good. It should have taken 2 hours. I know you don't have context for that, but
yeah,
that a mercy rule type thing?
Yeah, in the finals. And we like dominated to get to the finals. Have you ever been on a field with someone and you're like, oh yeah, we're not beating
them? That's amazing.
We played We played Air Force, you know, CC was D3 and Air Force obviously D1. And we showed up to the arena like 3 hours early, as you always do. And the stands were packed, like the cadets, because they had nothing better to do. They're like, trapped, you can't leave. And they were all there. We walked out in like our sweats and they just started like
booing you.
I just came out here to say, I guess I'll go back in the locker room and sleep for an hour and a half. Like, can't go anywhere. That one we lost pretty bad. But we had one in high school, my sophomore year, where we started the game down 27-0. And I remember distinctly, because in high school, you're very, you know, you get rattled easier. And they went from being loud to talking trash to dead quiet all in the first quarter. Like, everybody just got bored. And like, the final first quarter buzzer sounds, and like, nobody even says anything. And it's like, man, this is really embarrassing. The crowd has mercy on us.
My eighth grade football team involved like six or seven future D1 athletes, two future NFL players. So like, we just blew out everyone every game.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was on a team, a basketball team. It was a municipal like city team. And we had a coach that was like really eager and wanted to inspire us. So she entered us into a tournament in Greeley against like the Junior Nuggets or whatever. And we were down, we were down by like 30 points in the first half. And we came to realize that if we stopped trying to score baskets and we only focused on getting them to foul us, we could potentially swing the game, because they only had six players. We could swing the game if we would get if we would get only two of them to foul out, and we win. We did it. We accomplished that. Our team won a game by negative 35 points.
Lamest story ever.
Spectacular.
Yeah. And then the next series happened and it went like that, except for that we couldn't foul them out, so that we just lost by 35 or 40.
That's so funny. We did. AAU sports are like all like this, though. Like, most AAU games are blowouts. And it was the same in Colorado. There's not very many, especially 20 years ago when I was, but 25 years ago, there wasn't that many good teams. So you would go up to like Castle Rock or, you know, Sedalia or something sometimes for the tournaments. And if you played, you know, the Denver schools, they'd be competitive. But if you played like, you know, Berthoud or Loveland or something, they'd be horrible. And so, like, I would say at least 50% of those games were like 100-12. And it was just like, we just did it over and over and over again. Parents hated you. All right. This was fun, guys. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow, don't forget, George Carl, if you guys want, you know, to send me a question. I'll probably end up picking just one, two, maybe three, depending on what time permits. But send them, fire them off to me on thednvr.com, on the description of this podcast episode. If I see something in there that really piques my interest, I'll add it to the list. I'm really looking forward to it. Guys, George Carl, you know, this Denver Nuggets team was my like coming of age. I was in college for all this run, so I've never actually gotten to sit one-on-one with George Carl. I'm looking forward to doing that tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it. Make sure you tune in, set an alarm, and let everybody know. We'll be back for that one. Thanks, everybody.
Wait. Can you just ask George Carl what his favorite statues are? Just see how he
just to calibrate him, just to get him loose.
Should George Carl have a statue? Probably.
Ooh, there you go. You mean like, should he own a statue to put in his garden of like a cherub?
Come on,
young Elon. Cherubic Brendan Boat.
Harrison, get us out of here before we tank the show.
I could go for a cup of this after an hour 5 minute podcast, but Strava Craft Coffee. Okay. Can we brew some up right now?
Are you acting like an hour 5 minute podcast is long?
Yeah, the Broncos guys take pride in their gratuitously like, long. Right,
quarter one, baby, let's go.
Yeah, that's a first segment for us.
That's long for us, especially after a 2009 playoff game. But you guys can purchase Strava Craft Coffee online for 20% off using the code DNVR20. If you order it online, it ships right to you, super fast. Right, D line, like super.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah.
That's right.
I get it, like in a day. Yeah, if you have aches, pains, IBS, and you crave rich and tasty coffee, your solution is only a day or two away if you order it right now and use the code DNVR20.
Of course, yeah. CBD is also non psychoactive. Order it up today. Purchase online for 20% off using the code DNVR20.